Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates, and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I was thinking maybe we'd take some phone calls today. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. We have a really good show put together for you. The Christmas Eve show is... Ryan, you finished it, right?
Well, me and Brad did Friday.
Both of you together?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, perfect. And then Christmas Eve, our Christmas special, the Annie Fry Show Christmas special. I love this. I listen to it myself. And it's not much of me or us. We're in it. But there are... little Christmas movie montages in there, so you can kind of hear some of the clips of your favorite Christmas movies. The I should play Jensen today. I should play that today. Let's do that at 1:45. I'm going to play Jensen. My daughter, who is 12 now, when she was 3, she read Luke 2. This is when I was doing Saturday shows, and she... read Luke 2, and by read Luke 2 when she was 3, I would say, in those days, and she'd go, in those days. Mm-hmm. And it's the cutest thing ever. I think you'll think it's cute too. I don't, it's not just indulgent to myself, I believe, but at 1:45 we'll play that. And it's just full of things like that. It's a little bit of me and a little bit of Brad and Ryan and Ethan and just our hug to you during the Christmas period of time, 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Reardon is doing a fun show tomorrow.
He's starting, well, he's doing, I think, a kind of normal show up until 5 o'clock, where he's going to start doing kind of a preview of our Christmas special, but he's doing it live, and he's going to be doing Christmas music. He's actually previewing some of the things that we have in our special during his hour.
Clips?
Like some clips, like some Mariah Carey, which was specifically requested.
Well, it's just your stuff?
There is one more thing that I was trying to work into this year's Christmas special, but I just couldn't quite get in.
Rolla?
When No, that's got that's, that is in.
I even granted the... I told you where to put it. I always tell them where to put it. Shove that.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you for the help.
You're welcome.
I had my, a few years ago, I had my 3-year-old read, I was going to do Luke 2, but you had already done Luke 2, so we did Revelation 15.
Shut up.
And it's so cute, but it is harsh. It's tough.
But it's not your kid. It's the scripture.
The scripture. Yeah, he's super cute in it. But when he reads, you know, I saw the 7 angels with the 7 last plagues, last because with them God's wrath
is complete.
We're supposed
to be talking to callers right now.
Oh. And My bad.
You go ahead and finish your joke.
But that didn't make it. That's kind of my point. And because I get it, it's not Christmassy, but it's still cool. You know, it's cute. But I understand that it didn't make it. Maybe next year. We'll just hang on to it.
You should have your own show.
I'll talk to management.
You can share it there.
See if weekend mornings and weekend evenings.
The Annie Fry Show gets the Christmas special. Wiggins America gets the apocalypse.
That's fine with
me. It's already in the can. You never know.
Yeah.
Prepared for anything.
We're going to talk about not only New Testament prophecy, but Old Testament prophecy of the apocalypse, too.
The YouTube live chat poll for today. This is your cue.
Shh. YouTube live chat poll of the day.
Will mixed politics and mixed company be a holiday problem for you this year? Yes or no? At about 1:25, we're going to speak with Joe Concha. But we're going to take a few phone calls here if you want to reach out. 314-241-9797. How do you feel about the holidays coming up here? 2024, about to put a bow on 2024 and move into 2025. And what did I say we were? 28 days away from Inauguration Day? Yep, 28 days until Donald Trump becomes a president again. So I'm wondering how you're feeling about going into the holiday season. You good? You feeling good about it? 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. I'm feeling better than ever about what comes next for our country. I will be curious. I have no idea what's going to happen with us going into the new year, like how we're able to take this show, what we're able to do with the show. I'm always trying in a bazillion different ways to grow the show in whatever way I can, which a lot of that goes onto the YouTube channel. But we're always looking for new opportunities to be bigger and be bolder. And we appreciate every single one of you who is out there listening to us and participating, because this really does feel familial when we move through the year. And now, you know, going through 4 years of Joe Biden, it's like we've seen some things together.
Yeah, it really is. We've seen, you know, we were talking about in the first hour what Trump has done to the Republican Party. He's done just as much to the Democrat Party. You know, he has exposed them for their lack of ideas. He has exposed them for their knee-jerk reactions to just what Republicans do and not really having any sort of hard stances on most issues. Not everything, but most. And they're in a bad spot. And I'm here for it.
Do you remember after Donald Trump lost in 2020? Do you remember? I remember having this conversation. I remember applauding Laura Ingraham for having the same conversation and really saying, like, Republicans, it's time to do some soul searching and to... The phrase in politics is always do the postmortem. You got your butt kicked. You got killed. Do the autopsy. Figure out why so that you can prevent it from happening again and you can learn. I don't want to say that I don't see Democrats doing it. I don't see the Democratic core doing it. And what I see is like Cenk, the Two Young Turks guy at America Fest, sitting down and having a conversation that's like populist, that's anti-establishment at America Fest, and people going bonkers when they see him. Like, I'm not like tuning in to listen to what the Young Turks have to say now about life and politics. I didn't need them to guide me then, but I am interested in the people who are finally leaning around and peeking around the corner going, what's going on over here? I'd like to know more about this. And I think 2025 is going to be a make or break year for Donald Trump's ability to have a generational impact on politics, on the country, on history. If Republicans fumble right out the gate, then yes, the comeback is his forever. He did it. He achieved it. It's done. That's his. But what is ours is what gets done in the administration. And if he's successful the way we voted for him to be successful, generationally, this thumbprint, it's Donald Trump's for generations.
Yeah, this is the opportunity for America to look back at this point and go, wow, that really changed. The books that will be written for years about even the people he's appointing to positions is wild. You know, Joe Biden gets saddled with a lot of the loss for the Democrats because he's incompetent and he's lost his mind and all these things. He can't function, basically. But it's not just Joe Biden. That's one of the beautiful things about the way that they took it from him, gave it to Kamala, is that it was Democrats that lost. It wasn't just Joe Biden that lost. Democrat ideas lost that election. And that's important for moving forward.
There are also very much so people who are so A, dismayed, and B, politically homeless right now, that they're going to go away for a while, and then things are going to get better. Things are going to get worse. And when they reemerge, they're going to look and see, what's this? And maybe they don't attribute it to Donald Trump directly, but they can also attribute it to the fact that the Democrats are no longer in charge and things are different. So, you know, I'm not voting for the orange man bad, but I would like to see the Republicans have a little bit more power in the House to be able to get rational things done.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing that we have this opportunity now to get rid of the old narrative of what it means to be a Republican or a Democrat.
314-241-9797. If you want to give us a phone call, we'd love to hear from you about what's coming up next, how you feel about going into the holiday season. Todd, let's get to Todd first. Todd, thanks for calling the show. What do you think?
Hey, Annie. How are you all doing today?
Doing great.
Hey,
thank you.
2024, what a crazy year. And I just want to first and foremost thank each and every one of you for the job that you've done again this year in such an important political year. The coverage, the mix of everything you guys do is what keeps us coming back and listening every day. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that.
Todd, that's very sweet of you. We appreciate you so much. And thank you for calling in today to talk to us about it. There's going to be so much more to talk about in the future. We want to be right there with you the whole time.
Right. And can't wait to see what the next 4 years does. And I think that 4 years from now, we are going to be sitting so much better than we are right now. Time will tell, of course, but I'm very hopeful that that's the way it's going to be.
Oh, amen to that. Thank you, Todd. Merry Christmas to you. We appreciate that a whole lot. I've said this many times, and I'm looking forward to 2025, where we don't really have to think about being in this place again for a while. We can just look forward to what's coming next. But the 2020 moment of Christmas time, I just remember being in full-blown distract myself mode. And I know there are people who are like that right now. I just don't remember when we would have the conversation like, what's going to happen if which side wins is going to cause more riots? No one's. Are people even mad? Are people even really mad? I know you're on your phone in your car whining. I don't think that you're whining before you hit record or after you hit stop. I think you're just performative. So much the whiny car TikTok rants. I would say they have to stop, but I also think that they remind us what we don't want to be, what we inspire or aspire not to be, or people to be around. Like, I need to know that you're that kind of person, just for the heads up. I appreciate that. Let's get to Bob here. Bob, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I listen to you guys all the time, especially when I'm on day shift.
We appreciate that, Bob.
I just want to, you know, since it's such a spiritual time of the year and we're focused on right, wrong, good, evil, I just hope everybody remembers that this is a spiritual war. It's not a war against flesh and blood. It's against people who are inspired by good and people that are inspired by evil. And evil doesn't go away, so we always got to be vigilant. That's all I wanted to say, and God bless you guys, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Bob. I appreciate that. It's never a bad reminder.
No.
We should listen to the Apocalypse special.
Well, I had my 10-year-old do Ephesians 5, too. I don't know if that's going to make it this year. But, you know, either way, whatever we decide.
Which one of them reads Leviticus?
That's Sonny. I had the boys do the New Testament.
The brightest voice and the name Sonny. And now Leviticus.
She actually did the first 5 books.
The Pentateuch?
Pentateuch. Because I said, I don't really know what I'm going to use here, honey.
You know how you can get like pocket constitutions?
Mm-hmm.
The Pentateuch should be the pocket.
Yeah, it's a small one.
First 5 books of the Bible. You just tuck it away. It's a Pentateuch.
Yeah, right. Right in that little pocket in your jeans.
Yeah, and at the end, there's this guy who winks and it goes ding when he winks.
Yeah. I told Sonny to do that, but she was just about tuckered out at the end of that thing. 5 straight books. And that is not a lot of stories. It's a lot of law.
numbers.
Genesis is okay. You know, she was flying through Genesis.
Genesis is okay.
We get through Exodus, and toward the end of it, she was like,
"Stamp of approval."
Oh man, this is getting rough.
A reassessment of the canon here.
It's okay.
Joe Koch is going to be with us. We're going to get this thing right back on track. Thank you to Bob and Todd, who called the show. We appreciate you. Might take some more phone calls. We'll see how it goes throughout the course of the afternoon here. Joe Koch is going to be with us, and I'm going to ask him to recap for us the highlights of what we need to know in 2024. What happened that we should not forget moving forward? I mean, there's some obvious things here, but this guy has written a book on Joe Biden. This guy has written a book on today's Democrats, and he is writing a book on the greatest comeback in American history. So he studied these things. He can tell us where we've been and where he anticipates that we're going so that we keep our eye on the goal. So our friend Joe Koch, one last time in 2024, is going to join us. He's a Fox News contributor and an author and a great friend of the show. In the 2 o'clock hour, I think we're going to maybe open gifts. People are saying we should open them on the air. What do you think we should do, Ryan?
We should eat the gifts that people have brought us too, for sure. But they're here, but we haven't touched them yet. Well, actually, I have touched them a little bit before the show.
You just touched them.
I just was touching it, though. Yeah.
So we should open them on the air? No.
Well, I think that
I asked you a serious question, and then you just...
I think we
should.
Shush,
Brad. You're the producer of the show. What should we do?
Let me turn my mic on. Let's open them on the air and see what happens.
That was a strong endorsement.
Joe Koch, if we can hang on that long when we come back, don't go away.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I don't know.
Find the podcast, on demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Ain't colliding, just ain't jiving. I don't know.
What Geno Joe?
Well, I don't know Latin.
What Geno Joe?
Ain't high having.
What Geno Joe?
I ain't fooling. I need schooling. I don't know.
January 6th was a bridge too far for me, and I think everyone knows that. I was one of the few Democrats that went over and worked with him, and we always got along great. We were very friendly. We just had disagreements on some things, but you can do that. When the people speak and they make their choice and the election's over, you better pray everything you have that the president will be successful. This is about our country, and I want him to succeed, and I have said this to him. I'll do whatever I can to help in any way humanly possible.
When you're listening to Senator Joe Manchin, who is about done being a senator, talk about wanting Donald Trump to be successful, there's a patriotic element to what he's saying right there. And I was just saying this a little bit earlier in the show. The idea that we need to keep pushing and identifying and pointing to people who are never Trump. Donald Trump is the president. He won. Scoreboard. He's there. He's back. He is going to do the things that he said he is going to do. He's going to get his confirmations through, probably, maybe all, if not most of them. And he's going to be able to affect the outcome of the next 4 years in a way that could impact our country for generations. That is the consequence of the last election. And a lot of that has to do with how dismal and really absent Joe Biden was from the entire process. Listen to another senator, Fetterman. Gosh, this guy. Listen to him talk about Donald
Trump. After you survived an assassination, you literally were shot in your head. Yeah. and had the presence of mind to respond, you know, fight, fight, fight. I mean, that's a political talent. It's undeniable. And also, I never believed that it was about fascism. And for me, that made it difficult for
Kamala Harris said that he was a fascist.
Yeah, well, it's like that's her prerogative. I mean, but it's not a word that I would use, because you put a lot of Democrats, especially in my state, that I know and I happen to love people that are going to vote for Trump, and they are not fascists. And also fascism, that's not a word that regular people, you know, use. That, you know, I think people are going to decide who is the candidate that's going to protect and project, you know, my version of the American way of life. And that's what happened.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
Joe Concha, author of The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, which is coming out in April with a great cover, I might add. Joe, welcome back to the show. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. So just to describe the cover, Annie, and Merry Christmas to you as well, I could have gone with any picture, any photo of Trump. There's a billion to choose from, and I insist. At HarperCollins, my publisher, I said, we have to put the McDonald's shot on. It's got to be him waving at the drive-thru. That is the entire campaign right there.
Yeah, it is. And really, it's kind of emblematic of the way I feel like the country feels in response to Donald Trump. He's back. He's going to do his thing. We know that there are people who hate him, but there are so many people that are kind of in play. Maybe they very, very reluctantly voted for Kamala Harris. I think there are a lot of people who voted for her that weren't really so sad when Donald Trump won. And a lot of people who didn't vote for Donald Trump maybe didn't vote for the Democratic candidate either. I feel like all of these people are now in play coming in 2025 for Republicans, something even bigger than Donald Trump, to say, we've got a better way of doing things.
Yeah, and it's the coalition, Annie, that we saw that Trump established here, where he won a record number of black voters, for example. You got to go all the way back to 1972 to get that percentage of the black vote that he did. Latino voters, the rank and file union members, which used to be completely and totally in the back pocket of Democrats. Young voters, half of all voters aged 18 to 29. We're always told, well, if young people come out, then it's lights out for the Republican candidate. Well, no more. And John Fetterman, I'm so glad you played that clip, because I wasn't a big fan of Fetterman, you know, going into that Senate or during that Senate race. I thought he was kind of obnoxious. I thought he had no business taking office, because he just seemed, you know, he wasn't there, right? And he had to use closed captioning just to understand interviews. And there was just something about him that was real turnoff. I don't know what's happened to him. Maybe he's fully recovered. But
it
makes so much sense. It really is. I mean, and you have Jonathan Carl, who was doing that interview with Fetterman. You know, and he's written how many books now, Carl, on Donald Trump? Oh, that's right. 3 anti-Trump books. But he's the objective one, right?
Right.
You know, trying to goad Fetterman into criticizing Trump. And Fetterman was not having it. He understands. And I wonder if he's going to be like the next Joe Manchin, where suddenly he's the next maverick in the Democratic Party, or does he even, like, I don't know if he jumps parties, but he may leave the Democratic Party, because he's the only one who's actually making some common sense arguments on that side of the aisle, and he doesn't care. He does not care what criticism he's going to get from his own people on that side, because he just doesn't care.
Yeah, it's so nice to see people who are autonomous and really, like, kind of confidently slash even arrogantly autonomous and independent, says what he thinks. You can. It is probably the weirdest story arc of 2024 might be Fetterman, and that is saying something.
Yeah.
Joe Concha, tell us where we've been in 2024. You've written a book about Joe Biden. Everybody in the media now is like, oh my gosh, he's been absent for 4 years. Where's he been? That's unbelievable. So you've written the book on Joe Biden. You've written the book on the Democratic Party, and you've written a book on what comes next. Take us through this arc of time. There's a lot of journey involved in year or two of days here.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, well, first of all, have you played that clip of Chris Saliza, or Saliza, I don't know how you pronounce his name, formerly of CNN? He went on the air on Friday on whatever podcast he has from his kitchen, and he says, you know, I do want to apologize.
Yeah.
I wish I dug harder to find the real truth out about Joe Biden's cognitive condition. You don't have to dig, you moron. It was right there in front of us. Just watch a TV for 2 seconds or listen to him. Watch him shake hands with the air. Watch him tell stories about having conversations with, you know, deceased world leaders. Maybe he could remember his cabinet member names. Oh, no, couldn't do that either. Falling upstairs, Air Force One, falling on stage at the Air Force Academy, falling off bikes in Delaware. 40% of his time is in Delaware. And you had to dig. You had to, like, talk to a source to confirm all of this. So to answer your question, yeah, when I first wrote Come On, Man, and that was the truth about Joe Biden's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad presidency, I wrote that in 2021 and a little bit of 2022. And then I was saying that he had no business being president, because I have eyes, ears, and basic sanity. And when I heard him during like the 2020 campaign saying, you know, you got to play the record player for your kids at night, you're like, what are you talking about, record player? And clearly COVID saved him during that election. And he's probably the luckiest guy on earth, because he had no business even running for president. In 1988, he had to drop out of the race because he was seen to be a serial plagiarist. Right? And that's usually the end of your political career. But, yeah. You know, Barack Obama needed like an older guy with some experience in foreign policy. So it was between Tim Kaine and Joe Biden. And Biden won that out because he was seen as more likable by union members, I guess. So he fails upwards to the vice presidency. Then COVID comes. And that's the only way he was going to beat Trump, because it upended that election completely. And then we just witnessed, I mean, by far, the worst. If you're under 50 years old, if you're like Annie Fry and you're 32, 33, you just witnessed the worst presidency of your lifetime. And Nixon is the only person with a lower approval rating leaving office. And, you know, he resigned. Right. So it's horrible. I can't find one positive thing to say about this president. Yeah. And now these pardons he's doing on the way out the door just tells you he's not a good person, or he's being controlled by people and they're the ones issuing the pardons.
Oh, man. Joe Concha with us right now. You got 100. Do you have a 135 hard out? I just want to confirm.
Oh, well, 235 in my world, but we can go to 236 or 7. That's fine.
Okay, I just want to make sure before I wrap and you've got extra time. Yeah. When you see Joe Biden doing what he's doing right now and the study that you've put into him, do you feel like he's making decisions, vengeful decisions now? I feel like it's kind of weird to be like he's making decisions now when he hasn't been for 4 years.
Yeah, if you read that Wall Street Journal report, which was just so revealing as far as 50 sources from inside Biden's world talking about how much they tried to conceal him and protect him from the public and from voters. But then you also read the fact that Biden had powerful people around him that just were making policy decisions on their own. And they wouldn't even check with him, right?
Wow.
And it was so, and it matters because, like, for instance, like one Admiral Smith from the Joint Chiefs tried to get Biden on the phone before the Afghanistan withdrawal to warn him that this, you can't do this, right? The U.S. has to handle security. You can't leave it in the hands of the Taliban. and sure enough, he, you know, ignored it. They couldn't even get him on the phone. The Admiral couldn't. And then we all saw what happened. So it matters because people died, right?
Right.
And it mattered with October 7th and inflation going through the roof, all these things. And here's a stat to end all stats. He has held 9 full cabinet meetings in the span of 4 years. 9.
That's outrageous.
That's it. He's held 1 this year. He's had 0 press conferences this year solo. Donald Trump had 35 his final year in office. So, yeah, this can't end soon enough, quite frankly. And I said when he dropped out of the race, I said this on your show, I said he has no business being president for the next 6 or 7 months. And now we see the result and what they're doing going out the door. He's going to end up at like 30% approval. And I got to meet those 30% sometime. Like,
yeah.
Bowling.
What are you doing?
Let's talk this out.
Where are you? What are you paying attention to?
Seriously.
You mentioned that media, that reporter who said I should have done a better job. It's really interesting, and you cover the media quite a lot. It's really interesting that should he have done his job, the Democrats would have had a much better shot at an actual nominee that was probably chosen by the Democratic Party at a much earlier time to formulate a much better campaign. And right now, it looks like nobody's watching the media and the lamestream, leftstream media anymore. People have tuned it out.
They have, because there are alternatives. I mean, I listen to your show, even though I'm in Jersey, because you can do that. I love the Ruthless podcast, for example. I listen to Rogan sometimes. You know, obviously, those interviews can go on for a long time, and I only have finite time, but it's always interesting when I do, or at least see the clips. And then, obviously, you know, Fox News, everybody else is going down. They're losing, MSNBC is losing 50, 60, 70% of their viewers, depending on the show. CNN, same deal. We're gaining viewers still at Fox because, well, maybe, just maybe, we've been honest this whole time, and maybe we're trusted. And oh, by the way, we have likable people that are actually the same on the air as they are off. And you see, like, CNN trying to do the 5 with that ridiculous Abby Phillips show that's on at, like, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and they could barely draw, like, 350,000 viewers.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, don't.
It's written up
all the time in Mediaite, like, oh, this is, like, the most interesting show ever. No, it's Scott Jennings, like, basically taking somebody to the woodshed, and that's the only interesting thing about that show. Give him a show on CNN.
Amen.
Then maybe with Van Jones, like PTI on ESPN, like something like that. But they won't do that. They'll just continue to put Brian Stelter on 24 hours a day.
Oh, man. Joe Concha, you are one of those wonderful people from Fox News. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas to you, to your wonderful family. And we hope to talk to you many times in a very, very exciting 2025, which includes your new book. book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. It's available in April. Joe Concha, we appreciate you. Thank you for being with us today.
Merry Christmas, Annie. And yes, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
No, okay, fine. I'll allow it. Thank you,
now,
Joe.
I have a machine gun. Ho, ho. Oh, all right, I gotta go.
Bye. Merry Bye. Christmas. Oh, man. Joe Concha, man, there is nobody who gets more words per minute.
No, he's great. If you get 10 minutes with him, it's like 20 minutes with somebody else.
Yeah. I wonder what it would. I wonder if we slowed it down, if it would sound like normal.
I wonder what it sounds like to somebody who listens to our podcast on double speed.
Ooh, I never thought about that. But the thing of it is that what impresses me so much about Joe is that he spits facts so fast that he's not just saying things to say things. Like, he does so much homework, he knows his stuff, and he's very artistic in the way that he presents it. He's one of my favorite guests that we have on, and I like it because he keeps me on my toes.
And I love that he's available to, like, you know, this is 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
And he was like, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. Brad, on Friday, I told Brad, don't book any guests on Friday. I don't want to have those conversations. And today, he asked me today, he's like, do you want guests today? I was like, I basically said, try Tammy Bruce and Joe Concha or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the most fiery, broadly informed. Like, they could talk about anything. And they're just very kind and pleasant people.
It's so easy to pull quotes from them, too.
Yeah.
For the podcast.
Yeah.
They're great because they give you so much material.
You know, when he's talking about that reporter who was saying all of that stuff about Joe Biden and where Joe Biden was and how they covered it and how they should have covered it. This is Chris from CNN. Listen.
As a reporter, I have a confession to make. I should have pushed harder earlier for more information about Joe Biden's mental and physical well-being and any signs of decline. So let me explain.
Yeah, please. That's an interesting place to cut that down.
He chose not to explain.
Joe Biden
never mind.
Was president from 2020 to 2024. I worked at CNN through 2022. During that time, the early part when I was at CNN, 2020 to 2022, Republicans would regularly ping me and say, why don't you ask more questions to Joe Biden and how he's doing? He's 76, 77, 78-year-old man. And I would sort of brush them off, because what I would say is, well, there's no obvious evidence that he's declining. Yeah, he moves a little slower, he talks a little slower, but there's no evidence that he's declining. And the White House and the people around Joe Biden were absolutely adamant that suggesting anything, asking the question about whether he was in some physical, mental, or both decline was offensive.
Isn't it basic journalism when they're like, you can't ask about that, that you ask twice as much about that?
You should want to. That should be all, that's why you're there.
Yeah, when we don't talk about Bruno, you want to find out why we don't talk about Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is Bruno.
Really?
Yeah.
How interesting.
Probably. How would we know?
I don't know. We don't ask. This feels like Abbott and Costello. It felt like a bit.
This is a bit. I got news for you. You going to come? You coming over to Christmas morning?
You want to come?
My dad?
Come?
No, yeah. I don't know if I'm coming.
So yeah, Christmas morning is going to be weird because I am going to be at your parents' house.
Yeah, are they?
For Christmas morning, and yeah, they're going to be there. Just me and them, probably. just doing a little gift exchange. I pulled their name. So
what, in the family gift exchange?
Yeah,
I'm not in that.
Yeah, we didn't want to burden you. You got so many things going on, but
that's what it feels like.
We're gonna have a nice, you know, we're just gonna have some eggnog, maybe a little bourbon in there. Nice Christmas morning, a little warm Kentucky hug going down, and we're just gonna have a little family gift exchange.
Where's your wife during this?
She's at home with the kids.
It's like somebody's gotta watch them.
Yeah, we're not going to leave him alone at home. This is kind of a crazy question.
Where are your kids?
They're at home with my wife.
I hadn't established that yet when I asked about your wife.
Yeah, they're not coming. Mm. They're not part of the Part of the extension of the Fry family.
It's not the Fry family.
I know. I don't know what else to call them.
That's what you call them. Well, you're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Christmas special that we will have for you starting tomorrow at 6 p.m. with an introduction to it and his own special thing, Mark Reardon. I'm really excited to tune in earlier than I would traditionally to the Christmas special, because Mark Reardon, starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow, is going to get us in the Christmas Eve spirit. I know he's really excited about it. So am I. So you're going to want to keep it right here on 97.1. I know that you are somebody who is like super into the news and super into what is taking place during this transition period. But at the same time, for Christmas, it's like you still want to be able to chill and be mellow. This Christmas, you don't have to shut everything else out. You put us on in the background. We're going to guide you through, and everybody who is around in your family is going to like it too. It's good for everybody. Speaking of the YouTube live chat poll, will mixed politics with mixed company be a holiday problem for you this year? Yes or no? We'll be right back.
Ain't colliding, just ain't jiving. I don't know.
What you know, Joe?
Well, I don't know.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. A reminder, we've talked about it quite a bit today, but we're just making sure that you are aware that we're going to have a Christmas special on 97.1. People probably think, oh, I'm not going to put the Fox News radio affiliate station on in the background to set the mood during the holiday season, but there's every reason to do that. We've really flipped everything. Also, if you tune in and you hear it, we're still 97.1. Be yeah, so weird.
We haven't changed formats.
Yeah. May having Annie host DJ Christmas music, that will not be the day. What's your favorite part of it?
I just love all the bits that we do. Actually, I like a lot of the music that we do too, because it's versions of songs that you know, but it's not versions mm-hmm. that you hear a lot. So it's familiar, but it's, you know, by the time you get to Christmas and Christmas Eve, if you've been listening to Christmas music, you've kind of heard it over and over. But these are kind of, it's like it refreshes it all a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. I like that the songs, they're kind of our choices of our favorite Christmas songs. So I like the songs on it, but I also like the interviews.
It's just wars over and over and over,
over, and, over and over and over.
By it's different like, artists.
Ryan selected this song.
Yeah.
And this one. And this one. But I really like the interviews, because I think that gives you guys a chance. And this is coming from me whenever I was a listener. The interviews give you a chance to kind of get to know us a little better. And you know, it's not political talk. It's family talk. It's Christmas. It's stuff like that. That's a lot of fun. And then Ryan on some of these bits. On some of them, they're all right. The other ones are really good, but some of the bits
are
a lot of fun.
Some are just okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Some are, you know, a 7 out
and
of 10.
And when we say bits, it's not, like, what do you mean by that?
Like comedy segments, basically.
We have comedy segments?
We do. On the Christmas segment, Christmas special, there are some weird Christmas things that we've done throughout the year.
I don't know if they're weird, but they're goofy. They're funny. They're Ryan Wiggins.
So the Rolo one we just played the other day.
See, I don't even know what you're talking about. what is in this that is just for being goofy?
Well, there's the Mariah Carey
yeah.
thing that walks you through the history of that song, and it's almost all false.
Accurate. Yeah. Okay, so there's that.
There is a story.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah. There's a story that I tell. I think this one's newer. I think that I did mm-hmm. this one 2 years ago, where I tell the story of meeting the Chipmunks finally
yeah.
and how big of a letdown it was. The Put a Rolo on It bit is in there. It's just
cheap, just to be clear,
Christmas stuff.
Those are all your parts.
Those are my parts.
That is probably in 6 hours of content, a total of
15 minutes.
I was going to say 10.
If that.
So there are conversations that we have had that are Christmas oriented, but it's a lot of music. We tell the Polar Express story. And if you listen to the reading of the Polar Express, that's my dad who came in and read it. And then I produced, this is back during the Saturday show times, the Annie Fry Show. I produced it with sound effects in the background. So it's essentially the reading of the book, the Polar Express, and then sound production behind it. So it's kind of like old timey radio in a sense. There is Mark Cox reads 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. There's another story in there.
The Grinch.
The Grinch.
Mark Reardon reads that.
Oh, of course he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. So, I mean, that's just a bunch of stuff. And then there are, like, Home Alone. There's movie clips that go through Home Alone. There's movie clips that go through It's a Wonderful Life. I think White Christmas. Maybe Christmas Vacation. I don't remember. But throughout the course of the hours, I think there's a total of 6 hours, and it'll repeat a few times, you will be able to just have atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So we would love to have you along.
And
ride.
It's commercial free.
It's also commercial free. Here is my daughter, when she was 3, reading Luke 2.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to a firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of a heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen.
So that was 3 years old Jensen, who is 12 now. Let's see. No, she'd be 4. She would have been, well, no, she would have been probably, if it was 2016, she would have turned 4. So she was 4 years old when she read that. And then I don't know how it ended up happening, but if that was 2016, I think that some people at the new church that we were at got a hold of her, or maybe heard me play it on the air or something like that. And then they asked her to read it at church when she was 5. And she just reads it every Christmas Eve now. It's like
still
this,
now?
The text message just came through asking if she would be willing to do it again. And like every year I keep thinking, it's probably, she's like a young woman now. And I mean, it's like midnight service, candlelight service. And she just continues to be able to do it. And it kind of freaks me out because Molly next year would be the same age as Jensen was when she was reading that. Time flies.
That's pretty cool. I bet you're glad that you have that forever time capsule.
Forever. I can hear that in my head anytime. Like when she goes, and the baby. She was yawning when she said that. I mean, it's a lot of words for a little four-year-old to say. And the way we put that together is she and I sat in this back studio room when we were at Emmis at the Powerhouse at Union Station. And we sat there early on a Saturday when before my 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday show was on. And we just sat in there and we opened the Bible and I would just say, in those days, and she would repeat it exactly like I said it. And that's just the kind of kid she was. And for the most part, she's got a little bit of that teen tude going on here. But I keep reminding her that her attitude is my attitude. I'm like, I know I'm on to you. I know your game. My husband just stands there and his eyes are wide open like, oh, crap. Which I remind him, his son is just like him. But it's, you know, like, she's just very compliant, very eager to help. So if I, when she was four and I would go, in those days, she'd say, in those days. And then you say things like Quirinius. And she's like, why, and she just pulled it off. She did such a good job. So we'll have stuff like that in the Christmas special, and we invite you to participate. Just keep it on 97.1. You can keep it on in the background. Turn your radio on, folks, and let us keep you company through the holiday season. Let's open some presents next. Okay.